You're...
Hermes.
Little insulted you didn't recognize me.
My feelings might have even been hurt if I wasn't such a self-confident individual. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm killing these shorts.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Take Me to Your Reader, discussing adapted science fiction at its best and worst. I'm Seth.
I'm James.
And I'm Colin.
And this time we are going to do one episode about Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, the book, and we're going to talk about the movie from 2013, and then we're going to do a follow-up episode about the recent series. So, this is the first of two, and previous history with this title. And when did the book come out?
I need 2006.
That 2006, okay. Previous history with this title. You had read it before, yes, Colin?
Oh, I've read it to my kids.
Yeah. James?
Nope. First time.
First time. Oh. Like in the last 2 days?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've read it 4 times now on my own. Then I read it to Ethan. And then I think late last year, I read the print book, well, the ebook. And then I just listened to the audiobook last week.
Hmm.
I do not recommend the audiobooks.
Oh, really?
For one thing, the narrator, like some of the name pronunciations, like Thalia, like there's no universe.
Nope.
Where
that's
it's
terrible.
Not a long A sound, or like it's either Thalia or
Thalia.
Yeah. He also would say things like hippocampi, but it would definitely be, it's an iota. So it's hippocampi. Of course we often get that kind of stuff wrong when we say phi and pi instead of P and phi, but that's okay.
You think that they would consult with the author for pronunciation and everything, but
you'd think so. But like one of my examples is,
or consult with Greek,
right? In the
not a lot of original Greek speakers around these days.
Yeah, yeah. In the Ender's Game series, in the Shadow series, the first book, Shadow of the Hegemon, when Scott Brick originally recorded it, he said hegemon, and so then they, when if you listen to certain versions of it, you can tell where they went back in and edited it.
Really?
Where it'd be like, you know, talking to the hegemon, you know, where it's like, obviously they took one recording of him saying hegemon and pasted it over all of the others. Yeah. That was, sorry, neither here nor there, but yeah. And then the movie, you guys had not seen it until today.
I'm almost positive I haven't seen it until today.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blissful ignorance.
Yeah.
Totally. I saw this in the theater when it came out. We were on our, sabbatical, National Parks road trip. And we were in Barstow, California when it nice. Hit. And,
wow.
You know, Ethan, I had read them to Ethan. I think he had read them as well. And so, and he actually has really fond memories of the movies, because, you know, he wasn't sure. Super into the books, but I mean, I read them to him and he enjoyed them, but it might just be because of, Alexandria Daddario. He did mention that was a factor.
Oh,
so yes.
Now I probably would have read the book sooner, except I was waiting for this podcast for it, so
yeah, no,
because I did like the first one after reading it 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I forgot it was that long. I seriously thought it was just a year ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we can talk about that when we talk about the series and that, like, when you're going to commit to doing this.
I was just kind of waiting around to for this to happen. Otherwise, I would read it, because I did enjoy the first one. I remember liking the series. I really don't remember the first movie at all.
Yeah. Well, it's quite forgettable.
Yep.
And
I remember looking for this movie, I recognized the actors who played
Annabeth
and Grover.
Yeah.
When I saw Percy Jackson, I'm like, is this right? Is this the right movie?
Did they recast this guy? Well, they definitely recast a few parts. And so I think, do you want to do a separate book and movie discussion here? I mean, sometimes when I say that, it's because they're so similar. Sometimes it's the opposite, like in this case.
Yeah, well, they're fairly, all the right beats are there. Unlike the first book, which dropped a serious beat at the end. And then I think they did something in this movie, which is, if the thing I'm talking about and the reason that I think they did it is right, then I think it's totally cool.
Okay.
But we can get to that.
You think there's a cool part about this movie?
I enjoyed a lot of this movie.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
I'll admit, like Ethan, I basically have a good time watching these movies. Sure. I just have to turn off the portion of my brain that's like, oh, these are very different than the books.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's the quest for the fleece is there. Mm-hmm. There's the Ironside that is there. There's Polyphemus.
There's a quest for a piece of leather.
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the book. James, you most recently read it. You said you enjoyed it, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. Quick pace, fast, went. It seemed a lot shorter than the first one. And then when I asked you earlier, you said it was. So I meant, that makes sense.
Initially, I was like, no, I don't think so. And then I looked it up. And yeah, the first book was like 262 pages. And the second one was 218.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is down to, in the first book, he had to introduce the world.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. Like a lot of the character development that went on with the first book, you didn't have that in the second book. You knew everybody already, and it just kind of went.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
did its thing, and yeah.
It's interesting talking about this book in the same year in which The Odyssey is coming out, because right. because this one takes several things from mm-hmm. Odysseus's quest. Mm-hmm. I sent out a skeleton of a schedule for this year. There's a lot of stuff that's in theaters, and I'm like, we need to do some older stuff too.
We do.
But there's a lot of stuff. Like, if we want to do The Odyssey, we can do it. So I downloaded the standard ebooks version of The Odyssey, and I haven't read it since college, so it would be interesting to revisit. I was the other day, I literally Googled like how to properly enunciate dactylic hexameter. And I haven't watched the video yet, but because I like to do that. Like, if I read the sonnets or something, I want to read them properly in iambic pentameter. Mm-hmm. And the epic poems of the Greek tend to be dactylic hexameter. But yeah, so Percy is back. He is at the beginning of this one, he has almost made it through a year of school without getting expelled.
Yes.
And he has a friend at school that he's a little embarrassed of. And I think it's interesting the way it describes Tyson, because he's big, but he seems like kind of a big baby. Like right. he will start crying, right? And he's hard to look at. And it literally says, Percy says, I don't even know what color his eyes are. I haven't been able to make myself look that high yet.
Which means he's very tall.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's very big. He's very infantile. Mm-hmm. And he's homeless. And he's the project student for that school,
right?
Which is this hippie weird school. Yeah, this weird hippie school where everyone seems like extremely rich, and so they can say, uh-huh. "Oh, let us adopt a homeless person,"
right?
Which
they're,
is
kind yeah, of they're doing it to make themselves feel better about themselves,
yeah,
about their yachts and things.
Just weird.
But of course, on the last day of school, some monsters show up and
ruin the day.
Yeah, ruin the day.
Yeah,
basically get him expelled. And there's another thing that hangs over this book, and so if you haven't read it, you know we're gonna spoil it.
Yeah.
Is this looming great prophecy, right? Because there's like individual prophecies that get they get for quests, but then there's these other great prophecies where Percy eventually finds out that there's a prophecy about a son of one of the big three making a decision to either save or destroy Olympus when he's 16. And in this book, I know he's 13, 12 or 13, something like that.
The prophecy didn't say son in particular, just a child, right?
Child. Did I say son?
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry to be gender specific. Child.
Well, having read all five books, you know what the answer is. And so it might be a little.
Well, I don't know the answer, so shush.
Yeah.
The only reason I wanted to make sure I had that straight because of the end of the book. Because Talia comes back at the end of the book, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know because you guys read it, so.
That's the big twist at the end. I actually don't remember. I haven't read the last couple of books in a long time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So. And I probably, I don't know, I probably won't do it until the series covers them, if it ever gets to them, because they're all going to be in their 40s by the time they get there.
Yeah, at this rate.
So yeah, there's that, and then there's this threat against the camp. And there's other drama, right, where Chiron is not the activities director. We have Tantalus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Which is kind of an amusing character, because they in the first, I think it was in the first book, they talked about how, you know, Dionysus is the camp director, Mr. D, in order to dry out. And so he keeps trying to drink alcohol and it keeps not being alcohol.
Yes. So he drinks Diet Coke.
Right. Yeah. And in this one, you have Tantalus constantly attempting to get food.
Right.
Yeah.
But not getting it. But the tree, I'm going to say Thalia, because there is a Greek letter theta. I assume they have a TH.
Good point.
So
I'm going with the British pronunciation, Talia.
Talia, yeah, yeah. Where you get more backstory about Annabeth and Luke and Thalia and Grover. That because I think in the previous book it talked about how he had failed to protect all three of them,
right?
Mm-hmm. And in this book it talks about how Grover made a mistake that resulted in them being attacked by Cyclopes, and Thalia had been mortally wounded, and Zeus turned her into a tree that helps generate the force field or whatever it is for Camp Half-Blood.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, what else? What else is there? Oh, the tree. I mean, just talking about the tree, right?
Yeah, talking about the tree. So, in the beginning of the story, the tree is wounded. Yes. And so the protection for the camp is decreased, and they're trying to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. And Percy, through a series of things, learns that Grover is trapped on the island of Polyphemus, mm-hmm. where the Golden Fleece is stored,
yeah.
and he needs to be rescued. And then they learn that the Golden Fleece will cure any ailment. So their mm-hmm. thought was, oh, we'll go get the Golden Fleece and we'll cure Talia, the tree, mm-hmm. and everything will be well again. And we'll also yeah. get to rescue Grover on the sly. So it yeah. all sounds really pretty good. Mm-hmm. Except he pisses off Tantalus, and Tantalus says, I have had a revelation from the gods, via Percy. And Clarice shall go on this wonderful quest in order to save the camp.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Percy and Annabeth have to, and Tyson. Yes. To sneak out of camp.
Right.
And yeah. which they do with the help of Hermes.
Yep. Luke's dad.
Yep.
And there you begin to get a feel. So we've had a whole bunch of Percy's angst about, you know, how his dad isn't around. He can never talk to him. He, you know, made him and then kind of like dropped him off. Then we get a little bit about why, but there's more of that in this story. And so Hermes kind of does the same thing about Luke. You know, please let Luke know that I'm here for him no matter what we're doing or yeah. what's going on or what he's done. And there's some back and forth talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of nice that Hermes is like, I haven't given up on him. And Percy's kind of like, I kind of have, so. But well, Annabeth hasn't really, right? Because she's still, you know, she had a crush on him, right? Because he was older than she was and protected right. her. Yeah, and so then this book spins off into familiar things from the Odyssey. You have the island of Circe, you have Charybdis and mm-hmm. Scylla.
Yeah.
You have Polyphemus.
Yep.
And so that's kind of funny. That's kind of why I put my vote down for, yeah, let's do the Odyssey. It'll be fun. I'm not sure how much of that we'll see, but yeah. And so one of the key plot points is that Grover has established this empathy link with Percy.
Right.
To help him kind of come to him in dreams and reveal where he is. And yeah, so they go on adventures.
Yeah. With Tyson, who they learn is a Cyclops.
Yes.
Yep. There's an attack on the camp, which is how they learn that the wall around the camp has been weakened. And he attacks one of these giant brass bulls, the bulls of Chiklis? Chicklets?
Chicklets.
Chicklets. Colchis.
I don't remember.
Yes. And they're like extremely hot. And he's able to handle them and destroy them because he's a Cyclops and they are immune to fire because they're supposed to tend the fires of the gods mm-hmm. and the forges of Hephaestus.
Yes. Yeah. And Tyson immediately became one of my favorite characters in the book series. Just because he's kind of simple and sweet, but also yes. strong.
Yes.
And so I cracked up the first time, you know, when he's fighting the bronze bull and he goes, bad cow.
Bad cow. Yeah. Yeah. He's there to be almost a comic relief.
Yeah.
Cause Grover isn't in a lot of this story, and Grover mm-hmm. was that in the first book, but
yeah. And Annabeth has a problem with Cyclopes because they were who attacked them and it resulted in the death of Thalia.
Right.
So yeah.
So you really can't say Cyclopses?
You can, but in the book, it's always Cyclopes.
Okay.
Cyclopes.
Yeah. And in the book, they always say Heracles, not Hercules.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. They use the Greek names for things.
So where do we go with this? I mean, the adventures are interesting.
Yeah.
There's, you know, everybody gets a little bit of chance to shine from Tyson to Annabeth to Percy and even Clarice a little bit, which yep. is an mm-hmm. interesting thing. They ended up, you know, she ends up going on the quest and then they meet up and then they separate and then they meet up. And then we get to meet Polyphemus, who is, you know, jonesing for some new satyrs to eat. It right. turns out that the, now you have to remember that all of the fauns are off looking for their god Pan.
Right.
And it turns out that the Golden Fleece smells exactly like Pan. And so they all go there and then they all get eaten by Polyphemus.
Yeah. Yeah, it smells like nature magic, which is what, you know, what draws them to Pan.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah, he likes to eat them. Grover has managed to fool Polyphemus, whose eye is still not well after Odysseus blinded him.
Yes.
And so he's pretending to be a lady satyr who's working on her wedding veil. In order to kind of delay things, right?
Yeah, and they have a week to do this.
Mm-hmm. And Polyphemus is not too sharp either.
Right.
You know, right. Tyson is a little bit slow. Well, Polyphemus is not to be a mental giant.
A theme with the Cyclopses.
Yeah.
Cyclopes.
Yes. Yes. The interesting thing with this one that I really enjoyed is it's part of a series, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's very much part of a series. And so you know that there will be the plot to this book, but it's also got to move the ball forward for the series.
Right.
And so you've got all the Luke stuff kind of off to the side. and you're wondering what is their game here, right? Because there's a moment where Luke says, "Look, I was going to give you the fleece when we're done with it," and right. Percy's like, "That's weird. Why would he say that?" And doesn't really, you know, dwell on it, and it turns out that it puts another pawn, not a pawn, but it puts a player on the board, right? Another son of the big three, so that they don't have to put on all their eggs in the Percy basket for someone to help them destroy Olympus.
Another child of the big three.
Yes. What did I say?
Son.
Dang it. Sorry.
I'm just sexist. God.
Percy is a son. So, and I only have a son. So Colin does too, but he still noticed. Yeah. Yeah. No child. Adelphoi. There we go. Like from the Bible. It's a gender non-specific word, means brothers and sisters. And it's Greek. Oh,
there you go. Yep. All right.
Although in most old translations of the Bible, it's sons. Yeah. So,
well, and early in the book, they get on Luke's ship. So Luke has commandeered a cruise ship, and he's cruising around, picking up monsters and demigods, beginning to build his own force in order to overturn Olympus.
Yeah.
And on that ship, they are beginning to assemble the body of Kronos.
Right.
And so that's the back plot. There's always, you know,
right.
These books have a face plot, which is what you think is going on.
Yeah.
And then there's a step beyond that. And that is that Luke is manipulating them into going to get the fleece for him, mm-hmm. so that he can take it from them and then use it to bring Kronos back to life now.
Yeah. And that was where the major misstep of the first movie is, it only has the face plot.
Right.
It really does not have anything deeper. It never mentioned the Titans.
Right. Yeah, we get Luke and how upset he is with his father and the gods for everything they've screwed up and how they've abandoned the demigods.
Yeah.
And that's pretty true and straight to the book.
Yeah, it's just his plan doesn't make any sense because he doesn't have a Titan in the hole.
Right.
He doesn't really have the ammunition that he needs.
No, but in trying to foment war between the gods.
Yeah, it creates chaos, but it doesn't really do anything else because the gods are still immortal. So you need other gods to go against them. That's my major problem with the first movie. I'm like, you missed the whole basis for Luke's plan making any sense. And it's not Luke's plan. It's Kronos' plan.
Right.
And that becomes much more clear through the rest of the series, especially when you get to the last Olympian.
Well, and the big disappointment, I mean, the first movie had a lot of disappointments.
Yeah.
But the biggest disappointment is that Luke dies at the end, supposedly.
Mm.
Supposedly.
Right. But then they made the second movie, mm-hmm. and Luke mm-hmm. is not dead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't show him die. It just showed him fall into the water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being speared through the throat with a water spear. So how sharp are they? I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Or water trident, I suppose it was. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that is the genius thing they did in this movie to try and redeem that step.
Oh, that's not all they tried to do in this movie. And so, yeah, we'll get there. But James, other things, what did you like about the book?
What did I like about the book? It was quick paced. The story flowed and not too, you know, it wasn't too, what did I say, wasn't cobbled together like I feel the movie was. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed the adventure and the tie-ins with the Greek pantheon. And I liked the way that Riordan kind of like obfuscates through modernity the Greek pantheon. So rather than like Circe, it's Circe. And right. rather than like pigs, they're guinea pigs.
Yeah, like Auntie, you know, Auntie M instead of Medusa, right? Neat. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I like the way he kind of adapts that to more of a modern sense to relate to a more modern audience. Yeah. That's fun. Mm-hmm. I think he does a good job in that writing and storytelling.
Yeah. And the chapter titles are always fun. You know, Clarice blows up everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Which would be a very Clarice thing to want to do.
Or my favorite one, Nobody Gets the Fleece.
Yeah.
Which on the face of it, you're like, well, what does that mean? But then if you're familiar with the Odyssey,
right.
You know.
There's a Brian Jakes thing where people asked him, since he's writing stories for children, why adults like his books so much. Mm-hmm. And he says, I don't write stories for children. I just write good yarns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the attraction of this. If you just want to, it's a simple version of an adult thriller.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So there are themes that work for everybody and still enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. So the movie came out in 2013. Like I said, I saw it when we were on a road trip. And we just happened to be passing through someplace.
Is that the only time you saw it?
Yes. Yeah. And because, you know, the thing this movie had to do was, I mean, if I'm putting on my producer guy cap, right, from the pitch meeting or whatever, I'm like, well, how does this tie into the series, right? Like, well, you know, we forgot to introduce Kronos in the previous movie, so can we do that here?
Yeah. kind of.
Yeah, 90 second voiceover.
Yeah.
And that's how you bring Kronos into the movie.
That is kind of how you do it, right? Right. Yeah. And there's almost always going to be another way to introduce ideas without the voiceover. You can figure out another way.
The problem with this movie before me was that there was no setup from the previous movie.
Yeah.
Right? Like you guys are saying, the previous movie was just so one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they had to do all this extra effort, and not even a great effort, the voiceover, et cetera, to bring this about.
Yeah, and it's a brief book. It's
cringing.
But the movie isn't super long. I'll give it that. Right? I don't remember how long it was. It's got like a 40...
Hour 46.
Yeah.
This movie.
Yeah.
Which is feature length and longer, so...
Yeah, no, it's
yeah, yeah,
fine
yeah.
length, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not a 2.5 hour movie, you know, like... It,
right.
I'm much more likely to be critical of a 2.5 hour movie than I'm an hour and 45 minute one.
Right, and consider part of the audience that it's supposed to reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's rated PG, right? It was supposed to be targeted for kids, even though, of course, all the characters are older than they should be.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And they didn't trust 20 kids.
20 instead of 16.
Yeah. Right? Exactly, yeah. 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 No, Alexandra Daddario was 27 when she made this movie.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Damn.
So yeah. And Logan Lerman, I think was similar, mid-20s.
Right.
But it was not beloved by critics. Right. For like 47% Rotten Tomatoes on IMDb, it's 5.7. It did make pretty good money at the box office.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, book series will often put some butts in the seats, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of surprising they did after what the first one was like, even though the first one did pretty well at the box office as well.
Probably just because of the books.
Yeah. Well, maybe they were hoping this time they'll right the ship. They'll really,
right.
really set this on a course and we get the other three movies, which has not happened. Nope. And it's been 13 years.
They transitioned to a series instead.
Yes. Yeah. And rebooted it with younger kids. They have made some missteps in just not committing to do five series and have them out once a year.
Yes, for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does make me wonder about the delay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should do some research and see what we can find.
Mm.
Because I don't think it's a special effects thing. I don't think it's... the only thing I can think of is it might be a budgeting thing where Disney just could not sink that amount of money into it at the time. And so they had to put it off for a year.
Yeah, it could be. But anyhow, we'll talk about that when we get to the... I'll probably cut that out.
Nope, that'll be next month's episode.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you want to hear the end of that discussion?
We'll do some research.
Tune in next month.
There we go. Now I can't cut that. I'll have to keep in my saying that I was going to cut it and then not cut it. So whatever. They did some recasting. I don't know if Mr. D actually made an appearance in the first movie. I think just Kyron did. Because that's the other thing. In both the movies, they really have to shortchange everything that happens at school, or eliminate it completely,
right?
Right.
Or, and stuff really that happens at camp.
They screwed that up. I think it did a disservice to Tyson's character.
Yeah.
The way that they did it in the movie, and so this is my problem with the movie. It hit a lot of the same points as the book.
Yeah.
But in a very clunky,
dumb,
kludgy,
yeah,
non-flowing fashion.
Yes.
Like, why did Tyson just appear out of fucking nowhere?
Right.
I'm saying, why did Tyson just appear out of nowhere?
Yeah.
And
I'm going to keep both of those.
And the gray ladies in the taxi just seemed like that was just dumb, the way they put it. Backwards. Why didn't they just go straight from the island to the ship and then go down the coast? Why did we need the taxi?
I think what happened, you're kind of diagnosing what I think happened, is somebody wrote down, like plotted out the book and said, here are these major points, and then we're going to keep that, and that.
Right.
How do we
make put these happen
together? And sometimes it's like, oh, this will be pretty easy to get them into the taxi.
Have the gray ladies in there somehow.
Right, right. I mean, it has my movie twin, Missy Pyle, in it, who we have the same birth date.
Oh, okay. So she doesn't have your beard.
No, she doesn't. One funny thing is, I was talking with Elaine and Ethan this morning about this, about Clarice and the problem of Clarice, who is described as being, you know,
right,
a tomboy,
kind of
mm-hmm, tough, smelly.
She'd be like a female biker.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
She's like the female, she's like Missy Pyle from Dodgeball.
That's precisely where I was going with this.
Yes,
I totally said she should look like Missy Pyle from Dodgeball.
Yep.
But, you know, I understand adaptational attractiveness, right?
Mm.
But the levels to which they go in the movies and in the show. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I mean, what do the Aphrodite cabin look like? Everybody else is gorgeous. So that's, I guess that's why we don't ever really see the Aphrodite cabin. Yeah.
Their glow would destroy the cameras.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Seriously. No, everybody's too good looking. That's,
they would
that's,
have to do like the Vaseline on the lens for the Casablanca grillo.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, like TUS.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soft focus. Yeah. 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 But, so Stanley Tucci is here as Mr. D. And
he knocks it out of the park.
Oh yeah. 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 And Anthony Stewart Head as Chiron instead of Pierce Brosnan from the previous one.
Yeah.
Right.
Gets higher billing than Stanley Tucci,
which I thought was odd.
Is this pre Hunger Games? I don't know. Cause I feel like Stanley Tucci, you know, in like Devil Wears Prada and the Hunger Games, like Stanley Tucci got more popular.
And Captain America. And
yeah. Yeah. He's been a well-known character actor for a long time.
Yes.
But not typically a top billing guy. I thought it was fun that the Oracle was voiced by Shoryag Dashlu, who's from the Expanse series. She plays Officer Rala, the lady with a really deep voice.
Oh,
yeah. Like you, anytime you've heard her anything, like, oh, it's that voice. Yes, that lady. Yeah, yeah. Little jabs at political correctness, right? Cyclops, you know.
Right.
I mean the politically correct. ocularly impaired.
Ocularly impaired.
That's a mouthful. That's kind of hard to say.
Yes. I wonder how many takes that took.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When I just said it now?
No, well, I mean.
I nailed it the first try.
Of course you did. That was not edited.
Yeah, and it's clunky because they don't take the time to introduce things properly, right? Where mm-hmm. Tyson is just suddenly there,
yeah.
You know, and like right. They don't explain how he got into camp. You know, in the book, Annabeth had to permit him to come, right? Mm-hmm. Into camp. She had to say, I'm sponsoring him. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And so there he is. And there's not really the same ado about it because a Cyclops is considered a monster, right?
Right.
And so there's a thing where Tantalus
is... And he's not
is,
monstrous.
No.
That's another thing that bugged me, too. He looked just normal, like little kids, except the one eye. Like, he wasn't, you know, he's not big and tall and goofy and...
He was tall. I mean, yeah. You know, Logan Lerman's like 5'9", and so that kid was like 6'3". But
he didn't look physically bigger than the rest of them. Yeah.
No.
Like
and the guy who plays Luke is taller than him.
In the book.
So.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if there's some sensitivity to portrayals of someone being less intelligent, that it might come off as a little, I am Sam, you know, or, reference Tropic Thunder. And if you know, you know, like if they were worried about running afoul of like hitting some, mm-hmm. some notes that would be cringe. With having someone who looks...
I don't know. I think they still could have done, like, almost like an autistic savant type that... Because, you know, and this is another thing that missed out, too. In the book, he was brilliant with mechanics. And
yeah.
Like,
and it'll show any of that here. Yeah.
And they didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it would have been perfectly appropriate to actually have a full, rounded character like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's a fine line to walk between having this...
Isn't that part of the why Reardon even wrote these books was for his kid?
Yeah, because of neurodivergence, right?
Why not have that character in the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who knows how much control he had over the movie?
Well, I know.
I'm sure he didn't.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about the honoring the purpose and the character, mm-hmm. honoring the motivation for this series in the first place, right?
Yeah. I think it's possible to have a character who's presented as being kind of simple. And the fact is, and the reason that I love the character so much is because he is simple, but he's also very heroic, very noble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And very... antithetical to what other people think of the Cyclops, right? In general.
And he's only, if you think about it, he's only simple from a perspective.
Yeah.
Because how simple is he if he's tinkering and making some pretty amazing mechanical devices?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, savant idea, right?
Yeah.
Fixing the boiler on the Confederate warship.
Right.
And all the special things he put into Percy's chariot for the chariot mm-hmm. races.
Yeah, and the watch shield.
And the
shield,
end, creating this little badass buckler watch.
And the watch shield at the very end. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's kind of cool. I thought that was rad.
Yeah. So, and so I worry that what happened was they're like, well, we don't want to, you know, make people think, you know, it's a developmental disability kind of thing, and we're making fun of that and having humor at that, right? And not being able to walk that line between showing what his gifting is, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think they just weren't creative enough.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, also here, right? They're like, how do we save the CG budget? We can't be showing this one eye the whole time. And so they're like, we'll put glasses on him.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm fine with it. And then of course, you know, the temporary mist stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was brilliant as well.
Cyclops sunglass though. Because if the regular glasses would block the single eye. Right?
I know. I was thinking about that the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bridge of those sunglasses was see-through. The rest of it was, opaque. And then they had the mist spray so that he could have two eyes the whole time.
Yeah. But they got washed off on the sea.
Yeah. And I mean, he totally looks like Encino Man, right?
Oh, yeah, he definitely had Brendan Fraser vibes going on.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing where like Encino Man, right? He's kind of simple. Right, he's not super bright, but
of course he shines when he needs to.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's moral in that, and that's
my point about Clarice. Right, mm-hmm. You don't have to have somebody who, when they smile, you know, there's a ding, you know, totally. Who can be heroic.
She's
right,
not that character.
Yeah, she doesn't need to be drop dead gorgeous in order mm-hmm. in order to be a fierce warrior.
Right.
So yeah. So some of the highlights of the casting, Nathan Fillion as Hermes is fun.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
The whole joke about, you know, the one season wonder.
Right. Yeah. What was it? He gives him the thermos and it's got like, what was it? Hercules busts heads season one.
Yes.
Best series ever. So naturally canceled.
Yep.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know, modernizing and tying it into modern times, when you want to go see the God of Messengers, you go to the UPS store,
right.
Which then morphs as they walk underneath it. The sign shows, you know, like a Greek style wing with OPS and, you know, Olympus Parcel Service. And I loved it. It was brilliant.
Fun. Yep. I still think that the best casting in the series is Jake Abel, who plays Luke. I mean, he does a very good job as an antagonist in this kind of movie. Mm-hmm. He's also a good antagonist in I Am Number 4, which those books are not as good as the Percy Jackson books, but I do love that movie, I have to admit. So, the ironclad stuff is still there, and the mm-hmm. idea that Clarice can command armies of the non-victorious dead.
Right.
Non-victorious, They owe a debt to the God of War because of their failures.
Yeah.
And they do some cool stuff with that in the series, I think.
Yeah.
The major problem with this movie is it's in too much of a rush to either finish the series. I don't know if they knew that we're not getting another one of these. I actually didn't look at what the comparison was between the budget and the first two movies, but I wouldn't be surprised if this one was less.
It's not.
It's not.
Yeah. Worldwide box office was...
No, budget.
The budget.
90. And the worldwide box was $199.
Right. But what was the budget for the first movie to compare to this? He's betting that the budget for the first movie was higher.
I didn't look at that. Yeah. Right. Okay.
And it's the kind of thing that happens in book series too, right? Where you come out with the first book in a series and the publisher puts out a huge marketing campaign and, you know, YouTube trailers and that kind of stuff and really pulls out all the stops and tries to get stuff going. And then book two comes around and they're just like, well... If people read the first one, they'll read this one. We don't have to do that marketing push. And so then it doesn't sell as well.
Right.
But it sells well enough that they go, well, let's do a third book, Mary Robinette, you know? And and so she wrote a post about the death spiral of series writing because no subsequent book in a series ever sells as well as the first one.
So the budget was actually less for this movie. It was $95 million for the first movie.
Yeah.
$90 million for the second movie.
That was my suspicion.
Yeah.
But that's not significantly less.
No,
I'm counting in inflation. It's less, but I don't know. It's not that much less, but obviously they didn't pull out all the stops for it, right?
I mean, there's only 3 years before this one.
Yeah.
So the inflation's not going to be huge.
Yeah. No. But I think the point stands that they didn't. Normally, you would expect a second movie where they're trying to finish out a series. Mm-hmm. They might put more money into it to try to do it right.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay,
and they definitely didn't do that.
Like propel the series forward.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that with Star Trek 2 either. And that actually inspired the people to make a better movie because they had less budget to work with.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Yeah. And the other thing is...
It wasn't based on a five-book series.
I would bet you a box of donuts that Harry Potter books sold in increasing numbers one after another. Compared to the initial release, I would bet you every other book in the series sold more than that did.
I think if you look at total sales, the first book, generally it makes sense that if nobody starts reading the second book... Right.
True.
They go by the first one and the second one.
Right.
So then you release a third one, people go by the first and the second one. So the first one always gets bought.
Hmm.
Hmm.
And then some people don't finish the series. So that's why the first book tends to be the bestseller.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's the case. I'm sure there are exceptions.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's definitely times where like somebody will write a loose series of books and a subsequent one will be the one that everybody connects to. And they're like, oh, this is related to another one. I didn't know that. But yeah, it felt rushed with the introduction of Chronos.
Right? Oh yeah.
I think introducing Chronos when they showed that they had the sarcophagus, when watching the movie originally, I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay. They're trying to set up the rest of the series. Well, so much of this movie rips off Indiana Jones. It's a grab bag of indie stuff. Yeah. So, but, I remember seeing that and thinking, okay, this is kind of cool. You know, they're going to, and just while it was on the very downscaled Andromeda, not even the Princess Andromeda, right. Just the Andromeda.
Oh, yes.
And it's just, you know, a fancy yacht, right?
Yeah.
Instead of a cruise ship.
Yacht Andromeda.
But they didn't have time. They didn't have the time to invest in that, I guess. But, you know, I thought, okay, this is a good idea. And then it gets to the end of the movie and they do the whole resurrection thing. And I was like, no, this... You're just supposed to, yeah. You're that breadcrumb you have now set for the rest of the series.
Yeah, but that should have been in a successive movie. I'm assuming it's in a successive book somewhere.
Yeah, maybe yeah. More or less.
Maybe.
Sort of. It doesn't happen quite how you think.
Okay, fair enough. But still not in the context of this movie.
Yeah.
Or book.
Yeah. Introducing that into this movie took away overall series. Momentum cost them more money in their special effects budget,
right.
And took away time that they could have pulled elements from the original story back into this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think somebody looked at it. And when you, if I want to be critical of the book from a plotting perspective, generally the way these books work is Percy goes from A to B to C to D to E, and there's little quests and the chapters are fun. And he introduced and he meets somebody from mythology and defeats them or learn something and then moves on to the next thing.
Yep.
And this book is a series of those.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the underlying thread that keeps going with the confrontation with Luke, but you never really have a big showdown with Luke, right? Luke's basically out of the picture when they get the fleece.
Right.
And then when he confronts them, they've already sent it on with Clarice.
Right.
And so you don't have that big showdown at the end. The biggest showdown is with Polyphemus.
Yeah, he's the big bad, not Luke.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's a mistake they pulled forward from the first movie.
Agreed. It's
like, Luke is not the big bad.
Yeah.
He's the henchman.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Red Skull to Thanos.
Yeah. He's the Chitauri, not not actually Thanos.
I mean, he really is a pawn in Chronos' game.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he
just thinks bigger of himself.
Yeah, he does kind of come to realize that in this movie. But death isn't permanent for anybody.
Well, and so now that we're at the end of the movie, I think what they did here by bringing in this, so in the books, there's a trope where every year Percy Jackson goes to school and he blows up the school and he has to go to camp.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
In this movie, everyone thinks Luke is killed.
Yeah.
But he makes it through the whatever challenge. So, you know, he makes it through the water spear death. He's going to defeat or escape from Polyphemus somehow because he's in the third book and movie.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pull him out and make the third movie.
Yeah.
Well, there's not movie, well.
Right? Well.
There is no other movie, but.
Well, touche. But to your point, they didn't blow up the school in this game. Or game.
Movie. There was no school.
I know.
Was no school at all.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing.
Yes.
There should have been a school.
Well, he referred to Camp Half-Blood as his home as well, right? There's no non-Half-Blood, Camp Half-Blood portion of this movie.
Right.
Other than the quest.
Yeah.
I think it was a miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I did kind of like, and like I said, I like the actor for Luke. And I like that when I thought you were dead. And it's like, turns out, you know, you throw somebody into water and they can swim. It's not permanent, you know?
Yeah.
And he was just like out in New York Harbor.
Right.
So.
He should have finished the job and put the water in there. Like the frog dude in Invincible. Dude misuses his power.
Yeah. Put the water into the nostrils.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a bunch of missteps and just to have the big confrontation with Chronos. And he's not even that tough.
Right.
You know, Percy and the whole cursed sword, they never set that up.
Right, backbiter.
Yeah, yeah. The cursed sword is supposed to be Luke's sword, right? And because he has, I think it mentions it in the couple books where it's celestial bronze and bronze and carbon steel.
And steel.
Right. Yeah. So we can use it to kill demigods.
Kill both.
Yeah,
humans and non-humans.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so the Percy's sword being the cursed sword doesn't make any sense. It was never set up by anything. But, you know, it's able to deal him a good enough blow that he ends up shooting back into the sarcophagus. Right. But first there was the scene where they put the fleece blanket or leather or whatever it was.
It looked like one of those leather rugs.
Yeah, it looked like a rug to me. Yeah.
It was not a good look.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it just because, like, the book has talked about how, you know, you like when he defeats the Nemean lion, he takes its skin and it becomes a jacket for him.
Sure. But, like, why not a wool blanket?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should have been something like that.
Mm-hmm. I thought it looked like a wool shawl or something, but it had like gold filigree on it, you know. It's okay. But yeah, they put that on there and it looks just like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
They have the cart ride, you know, from the Temple of Doom.
Yes.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. It seemed like it really wanted to be an Indiana Jones movie.
Well, and Cersei doesn't show up at all.
No, I know. That was very disappointing.
Scylla is mentioned, but only in passing.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole point with Charybdis and Scylla is that you have to choose which one you go for. You can't just go right between them. So if there's only one of them, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You're supposed to only have to deal with one of them at a time.
Yeah. And the idea that you go into Charybdis and then shoot your way out.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I remember reading, when I was reading the, finishing the book, I was looking forward to seeing who they were going to have play Cersei.
Oh. Let down.
I know. And now there isn't one. I'm like, God, duh.
Yeah.
Boo.
Well, but they didn't have the vitamins, right? So,
and
right.
Then, that should have been a dead giveaway that Cersei wasn't coming.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they gave them the magic packing tape of cage destruction.
Did they only use that in the cage?
Yep.
Yeah, it would have come in pretty handy later on.
I thought they were going to make a hole and go out of Charybdis that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been rad, actually.
Yes.
That would have been sweet.
Yeah. How much tape do you have? I hope we have enough.
Yeah, the other weird thing with this one is just on the whole setup of things, right? Grover is missing from the beginning of the book.
Right.
Right.
And he's sending messages to Percy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ends up getting kidnapped by Luke's goons, and they have a teleporting thing, even though that was not a plot point earlier.
No. Well, they needed a way to explain how Luke gets around, and they didn't want to bring in the part about the labyrinth poles and...
Right, right. Yeah, that's from the fourth book.
Yes.
Fourth book? Yeah. Third book's The Titan's Curse. Yeah.
One thing I really like about the series, again, to jump out of immediate context, is how they have been pulling the right things forward and backward into the earlier parts of the series so you know there's no doubt about what's coming.
Yeah, well, it shows the commitment to, we're doing a series.
Yes.
We're not doing just the story from this season. We're doing... You know, there's a larger overarching plot.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. Where the movies never really had that. And this one, they kind of had a chance to do it. But then, and I guess at the end, Kronos is back in the sarcophagus.
Right, it was like pulsing and doing.
I don't know why I couldn't say sarcophagus, but.
Sarcophagi?
Yeah.
One thing I want to ask you, Seth, because your memory for this is better than mine. The prophecy that Percy gets, which he never should have gotten because he wasn't allowed to go on the quest in the book. Is that the actual prophecy from later in the series that they did try to bring back to try and bring back some series momentum?
I think it was modified. I don't recall if it's the same words, because they did say it in this book.
I think they talked about it in this book. I don't think they recited it. If you get the difference, I'm trying to pull.
Yeah, out. Yeah, yeah. That could be. Yeah. So I'm not sure if we have it. Word for word.
They didn't recite it. They talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the sentiment was similar.
Yeah, they were emphasizing his age, 16, in the book. 20 in the movie.
20 in the movie.
Because he's like 13 now or something, I think.
He's got to be 38 by the time they finish the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's coming up to that age, and it became significant at the end of the book when now they have Talia. And now it's kind of confusing whether or not it's him or her. And I don't know, in the back of my mind reading the whole thing, I'm like, well, how do they know there's nobody else out there? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be another Half-Blood.
Mm-hmm.
But. Well, yeah, especially because... There's Tyson.
Yeah.
Now, he's not a demigod. He's not half human.
Yeah.
But obviously, Neptune has not been keeping it in his pants. And so why should Zeus and Hades?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hades, we know why, but...
Well, Neptune's a different thing altogether. It's from the Heroes of Olympus series.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Poseidon.
Yes. James, there is a whole other series of Percy Jackson adjacent books that's from the Roman pantheon side.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, and the Egyptian pantheon.
And the Egyptian one.
Yeah, the Cain Chronicles.
And the Gods of Asgard. So,
haven't read that set.
I haven't either. I think I have the first one in ebook. I just never got to it. Yes.
Sweet. That sounds more brutal.
Well, remember the audience he's writing for.
Yeah. Well, so the other thing in this is Annabeth definitely drops an F-bomb when she says, forget the prophecy or something. Right. I was watching her mouth, and I'm like, there are not enough syllables in that. It was an F word, but they, I think they wanted the PG rating, and so they changed it. It wasn't as blatant as in Galaxy Quest. Few are.
Yes.
I think I mentioned this gripe before, that they made Annabeth blonde in this one, even mm-hmm. though Alexander Daddario right. is definitely yeah. brunette. And they caved to backlash that they didn't cast a blonde actress for it. Now, if you want to cast a blonde actress for it, fine. That's totally fine with me. But like, I didn't like that they, whatever her name was, who played Sue Storm in the first Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba. Yeah. I'm like, why are you going to make her blonde? Just like, seriously, cast a blonde actress or don't make her blonde.
Right.
Like, and in the latest thing, right? The kid who played Eddie in Stranger Things, who plays Johnny Storm, he's not blonde either and does not have light eyes. And yet mm-hmm. they gave him like contacts and looks terrible in the movie. So
is that why that looks that way?
That's why it looks that way. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like just be okay with making different choices on your casting of actors or stick to your guns and cast it according to the right. looks. But
yeah,
generally I don't have a problem with however you want to cast it. Just like stick to your guns.
Yeah.
But you know, the books do call out specifically that when you see Athena, she also has blonde curly hair, and so all her kids have blonde curly hair.
Right. And gray eyes.
And gray eyes, right. Yeah. 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 I don't know canonically if any representations of Athena from Greek mythology show her with blonde hair.
I'm guessing that modern interpretations, you know, even going back hundreds of years, all westernize all those right. things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Aphrodite, you almost always see as a blonde, like in the Hercules legendary journeys, I'm sure she was a blonde. Mm. But yeah. Yeah. The movie kind of, there's a reason they didn't do another one of these, you know, and it did well enough at the box office, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, getting back almost three times your budget, that's, mm-hmm. I would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But
budget-wise, both these movies succeeded.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Mm-hmm. But I think they realized we can't make five of these. Everybody's going to be in their 30s by the time we're done with them.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to have to keep changing the end date on the prophecy.
We couldn't quite keep the momentum of Harry Potter.
I mean, even Harry Potter.
To be fair. Yeah. Harry Potter, they looked a little too old for
but
that too.
Not terribly.
No. Yeah. So, rank them?
Sure. book movie, but for me, not as big of a margin as you might think. It's a fun movie. It's not a well-made one, mm-hmm. but it's fun.
Yeah. James?
Yeah, book movie.
Yeah, book movie. And I'd be curious to hear from anybody who saw this movie before you read the books, you know, has never read the books and somehow listened to this anyway. Because like, how entertaining is this movie on its own if you're not sitting there with a mental checklist of how did Tyson get there? You know, and I don't normally go in with those things, but just hear like James said, right? It's just kind of clunky.
Yeah,
Where they're like, yeah, we can just do all this and it'll work ish.
Yeah, I don't know if my clunkiness is biased by the book or not. I don't think so.
No, like the way they bring in the cab.
Yeah,
I think that is the most. Well, actually, in the way they bring in Tyson.
Yeah.
And the way they bring Tyson's in Clarice.
I think the Tyson's the most egregious one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the cap, too. I just...
And Annabeth never goes invisible. Did she never have that in the previous movie? I thought she did, but...
Oh, I'm almost positive she did.
Yeah. That would have come in handy a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like when they fight Polyphemus.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hey, it's nobody. I'm back.
And I wanted the nobody stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his herds of sheep, right? The movie just hand wipes that away.
Totally.
I got so hungry, I just ate all my sheep. I did think that Polyphemus looked pretty good, and I liked the voice performance.
Yeah.
So if I had to choose something that I was like, oh, it was okay.
So one of the two Cyclopses mm-hmm. in this movie,
mm-hmm.
one of them ends up being Polyphemus in the series.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Interesting.
It doesn't say who is who because he's like Cyclops 1 and Cyclops 2, but he's actually in the series.
Oh, like one of the ones from the beginning showing Annabeth and Thalia and...
Yeah, or during the flashback, one or the other.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, fascinating. Okay.
I do love the fact that when the kids are approaching the camp with Thalia and Annabeth, they're truly kids.
Yeah.
And really, they should not have been that much older when they did the movie, but that's...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like Luke was that much older than Annabeth in that
mm-hmm.
no
flashback. So
yeah, and the flashback looked like it was way farther ago.
Well, it's supposed to be like 6 years prior because Annabeth has been there for a long time.
In the movie, they said 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is like also like floored me. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
but yeah, you're right. Cause Annabeth, yeah, she does have like in the book, the necklace, she's got the most like beads of everybody. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except Luke. Right. No, Luke came at the same time she did.
Cause you think the same.
Right.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not at camp anymore.
Yep. Anyhow, we will reconvene in a few weeks and talk about the end of the season two of the series, which I have concerns about the speed at which they're getting these out and the kids are growing.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping in the series that it would change the prophecy age, just because, you know.
Oh, is it 16 in the series too?
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah. The kid playing Percy is already 17. So.
Well, I mean, think about this. James did not even recognize the picture of Percy Jackson from this movie.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how much he changed from when they filmed it, the first one to the second one. But he recognized the other Grover and Annabeth.
He didn't really change that much. He's pretty youthful looking guy. Even now, you look at him, you're like, the kid hasn't changed very much. Got the Paul Rudd jeans. But
it's the mist.
Definitely. All right. Yeah, we will reconvene. So let us know, what did you think of the book, the movie? How are you enjoying the series so far, if you're watching it? And we'll maybe if somebody wants to reach out to us about that kind of thing, we can talk about it when we reconvene.
Right.
Okay. And we're making plans for other things we're going to do, so we'll figure that out. And you'll see it in your podcast player when it drops.
Yes.
If not sooner. Thanks, everybody. May the road rise up to meet you, and may the book always fall open to where you left off. Bye-bye.
Ciao.